when he came home, sometimes he would say, repeat what I told. If you could repeat it once again, he would tell me, I'll give you another dollar, if you remember it. And to this day, from when I'm 8 years old, I remember umbraculate, a cone-shaped projection above the head. It's never left me. And his biggest... Also, to tell you how patient he was, he spent so much time with me, I was in awe of this man. He was so intelligent, and he would always tell me, no question is stupid. Ask it, I'll answer it. Every time. And I don't know what to do. He was my Google. Also, I would love...
He was my Google before Google.
That's exactly right. That's how I look at it now. And also, he introduced me to the game of chess when I was 10 years old. And he sat and taught me, I mean, hour after hour, month after month, he would play whenever I asked him to. And now, you know, I'm a master of the game. I love it. And I owe it all to him. All to him. Wonderful father. I can't say enough. And I'm so happy that all of you have spoken with him and heard him. And the things that you've said, I just humbled and I appreciate it so much.
And to extend.
I also would like to let you know, I don't know if you know, I've also been afflicted with this disease. And I don't know how much time I have left. But this has given me a shot in the arm. This has given me hope. And I have a major surgery to go through next month. And this will carry me through. I know it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Dr. Ray.
I got to say something because you do review my habits. It was our pleasure and our joy to be able to share aspects of your father with you and to have you share aspects with us. You know, we didn't know anything about what kind of a father he was, but it fits the picture perfectly. So we all appreciate that you came and talked with us and joined us in this moment.
I got to say something, Teddy Juicy Ruby. I just want you to know I've heard a couple little bits and pieces, and of course, obviously not on the air, and by extension, and the way he spoke of you, you always have a place in my heart, regardless of we spoke once, twice on the phone, briefly, but still. You can take that with you as well and understand it. And, I don't know how to say this, so that's why it's coming out rambling. But he did speak of you in a way that I hold you in extreme regard as well. And I just need you to know that. All right, Katie 2, CBV.
I would also like to say, if I may, to Donna, thank you very, very much for that and sharing with us your stories and your statement. And actually, I can listen to you all night. Not that I'm tempting you, but actually, I wanted to say that a couple of times. I'd like to hear more from you. And I guess I can in the future if I wish to. And it doesn't have to be on the radio. So, again, thank you very much. And so far this has been exactly what I had in mind, and then some, and good luck to you, and hope to talk to you again soon. This is Handy Andy, and to HOH, and again, my sincere deepest condolences, and take good care of yourself, and I'll talk to you soon.
If anybody wants to call her, Richie has her telephone number, so you're welcome to call anytime you want to. Guys, I do appreciate that, Dr. Roy.
AC2GS, very good. Let me just ask if Bernie K2YO has come by again. He checked in rather early and checked out, and is K2YO here? Okay, is there anyone else out there that has something that they would like to say?
Well, I'd like to say that I wish I had a father like John too, no disrespect to my father, but if he offered me a dollar for every word in the dictionary, I could have went to college, and I would have enjoyed playing chess at such a young age. I didn't start till a little later, but my father did take me to the library to get a book. Which was nice. Took time out of his busy schedule so I can get a book or two out of the library. But, again, wonderful story there, Donna, and I'm glad I got to hear that.
Mr. Roy, do you play chess?
Yes, I do, but for some odd reason, I seem to have no patience for the game. I sort of lose interest rather quickly.
I agree with you, and the same was with me. I have a brother who is a great chess player, and he even has classes for youngsters. He's a teacher, and I was playing with him when I was very young. I was cheating, and he presented he doesn't see that. And to explain,
fortunately, I never had anyone who was nice enough to cheat poorly at chess for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, used to cheat poorly at checkers, and I was perpetually confused when I think it was something like I was 6 years old. All of a sudden, I stopped winning at checkers, and it took me a long time to figure that one out.
Yeah, I never ask what kind of music Dick prefer.
I think you asked me what kind of music do I prefer, and mostly instrumentals. Yeah, most of my favorite music is instrumental. Does that sort of answer your question?
How about Dr. Roy?
Well, I could annoy everyone and say it's pre-Baroque. I actually do like pre-Baroque, but I have eclectic taste. I mean, I can go across 400 years and find something that interests me. I don't really like the last 10, 15 years. I haven't decided if it's because the music just stinks or I'm becoming a crotchety old guy.
It ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
For me, it's classical music. For Season is my favorite one, but I was kind of amazed when I found out that listening to Dream Theater is kind of enjoyment for me. Also, the Beatles at their time, I was very much fascinated with that, but I was very young. And yeah, a few other like that. And thank you.
I personally preferred the Beach Boys to the Beatles back in that time when I was growing up. But to bring the subject sort of back to John, I recall loved operas.
My father loved all music, almost all music. I found him listening just recently to German folk music. He downloaded some Germania family and listened to it constantly in the last few weeks. I don't understand that one.
One thing that sort of surprised me, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, was that he enjoyed Monty Python. And I always thought Monty Python would be a little too silly for John.
That was one of his favorites.
That surprised the heck out of me. I love them as well, but again, I would have thought that John would sort of find them to be silly, but apparently not.
King Henry.
Oh, my father, I think, yes. Would like to have lived in that time. You see what I have here?
Yeah.
The knight in shining armor. Yeah. That's who he thought he was and wanted to be and aspired to be.
Oh, boy. Hendrix, yeah.
Although John and I would have got very angry going to the cheese shop at on Monty Python, we want our cheese right away.
What about parrots? What about silly larks?
You probably don't know this, but I was the expert on parrots. I had 15 different birds at all different times. And when my father inquired, he found out that what I told him was right. And if he was going to pick a parrot, you better be in it for the long haul. You need to leave them in the will to someone because they live 75 years.
Yeah, there was some kind of comment.
Parrots and turtles are very long-lived.
I don't know anything about turtles, but yes, it's true about parrots.
There are some turtles that are over 150 years old.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Some from the new music. Do you really like rock?
Yeah, I told you I liked the Beach Boys. That was rock and roll.
That was a classic one. I'm talking about the new modern one.
It really isn't that much rock. It's mostly pop.
True. Right, that's cool.
So let's check out, it's called the
1975.
Yeah. I
love
it.
Yeah.
Excellent band.
Right? John have a favorite Monty Python skit?
She loves them all, but she doesn't know. Do you know the 1975?
John and I spoke about we like the going to the the specialist in arguments. Arguments, disagreements, arguments. I think those are the two that we mentioned.
Favorite is the dead parrot skit.
I'm asking again. The band, 1975. Do you know them?
Check it out. Name of the band? It sounded like you said the Depends, which sounds like some kind of, you know, diaper.
No, the band, Robbie Robertson.
The band is called Z1975. Check it out on YouTube. Excellent band.
Okay, will do.
Were you guys working on something and you listen to the music? Do you find music helping you or disturbing? And to Adrian.
Unfortunately, I find it distracting. If I'm really concentrating on something, I tend to prefer silence. I like to kind of involve myself in the music when I listen to the music.
How about Dick?
Dick, are you still there? Wesley wants to know whether you listen to music in the background or in the foreground.
I think I used to do that, not lately. I share time between doing something with computer searches at the same time the ham radio is playing in the background. So, nope. Don't play music in the background these days. Do you do that, Roy?
I do that, but I don't know. I tend to like to immerse myself in music when I play the music. Otherwise, it distracts me too much. I mean, if I'm doing something that's really passive, like waiting for something to happen on a computer, then it's fine. But if it's something that I have to keep interacting with, I just get distracted too much by the music.
Another station behind.
I was just saying that I listen to music while I do the ham radio. Everything is on. The Echolink is on. The HF is on. The computer's on. The FM is on. The 220 is on. And just waiting for the right signal to come through. Go ahead.
Kind of puzzling. You guys were doing some kind of study or preparing yourself to the exam or getting your finals, and at least in my particular situation there was plenty of guys around and you have to concentrate, and what I find out is that I'm able to switch off. I cannot hear them. So the question is, how could you handle it along the noises or the music? So they say you didn't have a comfort of switching off the crowd, but you had to learn. And you were like 2 hours before the exam. Dr. Roy.
AC2GS. It depends. Some people can kind of pick up a skill set and others can't. So some people would figure it out and pass and other guys would fail, I guess. I mean, I was very fortunate. I always had a quiet place. I mean, libraries are inherently quiet. You know, if you stick in a dorm room, yeah, you got lots of problems. But if you stay in a library, you usually don't have that type of a problem. So I never needed to learn that skill set, thankfully.
Dick?
Nowadays, with a real good set of earplugs and earmuffs, so to speak, you can create a quiet environment, even though you're in a noisy one. So you could create the amount of quietness of a library without going there, as long as you properly program the people around you to leave you alone. So there is more than one solution to that one now, Roy. K2RIW.
Yes, I was just projecting back to the 60s and the 70s where it was a real life situation, as opposed to nowadays where you could pick up a good set of noise canceling headphones for a decent price. I mean, I have earplugs. They're okay, but if someone makes enough noise, they really don't help.
There are kinds of...
You know, these days, you can get such great internet radio out of the UK, an Irish radio, and radio from Dublin, other cities, and, you know, German radio, and French radio, and it's quite fantastic. It's a great little sound that you keep sort of tucked away in the corner, but I think you can tune in to the signal you want to hear. It's like when you're operating CW and there's three signals going at the same time and you listen only to one.
Well, I guess you could learn that, or most people can learn that. I mean, I've mentioned my Flex. It has 8 different receiver slices. I could theoretically run 8 streams of audio simultaneously, and I have, just to see if I could. And it's not conducive to anything. So I tend to turn one off, one on, one off, one on, one off, one on. And I try to limit too much. The cacophony of noise can be tiresome.
QSL, QSL. But, you know, I see it all as background noise. When the signal I want comes through, I turn everything else down. Go ahead.
Hey, you have internal programming that allows you to do that with alacrity. I mean, I can sort of do that visually. I have a real strange neural connection with my eyes. One is kind of better suited for distance, and the other is for near vision, and I can actually turn off my visual perception, but that's a neurological phenomena. I guess the same thing you do with audio phenomena, but I'm better able to do it visually than audio, I guess.
It sounds like it's sort of like another kind of intelligence. You know, years ago there was a great Indian scholar who was related to being saint and decided that he would reject the sainthood and become a teacher and a lecturer and a writer. And, you know, he traveled all over the world giving lectures. And there was always somebody waiting for him at every port, and he would just go from place to place to place to place writing books. And he had a very unconventional life. He had this big estate in the middle of an orange grove in a small house in Northern California. So, yeah, everybody's got their own way. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, David and Wesley doubled, and I was able to hear kind of both. If I was designed better, I'd be able to pick up both conversations simultaneously, but in the end, I tended to hear David for some reason a little bit better than Wesley. So that was an actual practical exercise in being able to dissect audio signals.
I was just saying that I was able to switch off the vision. And that means I saw the people around. There were crowds around, always crowd around. but I didn't see them. And I was able to turn all the noise that comes from those guys to be just ambient noise, just to concentrate on that what I was studying. And I thought this is like a natural thing for everybody. Dr. Roy.
Not really. Like most things, some people are better at some things than other things. It goes to the absurd. There are people, for those people out there that have ever watched Star Trek, there's a Vulcan salute in which you separate the third and the fourth fingers by themselves. There are people, I could do it very easily. There are other people who cannot for the life of them do it. So, you know, we're all kind of wired ever so slightly differently.
I was just trying it with difficulty.
Different and different people, it cuts across sexes, ages, all manner of things. It has a religious origin. It's the benediction of the Kohanes, the Jewish priests, and the high holidays. And Leonard Nimoy peaked when he wasn't supposed to peak and saw them do that. And when he needed to have a Vulcan salute, he went over to the director and said, let's do this. And they did it. And ever since then, every so often, some actor or actress who has to do that can't do that. So they kind of hide it, and they manually manipulate their hand with their other hand and then put it on into the film view. So, and that's a small example. There's loads of little things that one person does without thinking about it, and the other guy looks at them and says, what the heck is that? I'm sure you've seen people who can wiggle their ears.
Nothing very special, yeah. Genetic, yeah, they play with the tongue like...
Make a circle.
Make a circle with the tongue.
I assume that you mean, can you flex your tongue longitudinally so that it's cylindrical?
You can name it this way, right?
Yeah, some people can do that, other people can't. Every time that they try, instead of having it cylindrical with a hollow center, it just fattens up. It doesn't do that. Again, it's just the way different people are wired.
I can recall the student time. We had a special training. We were woke up 3 o'clock in the morning and asked a certain chapter from what we supposed to learn, and we went back to bed. And then 20 minutes later, we wake up again, asked to go within 7 minutes in front of the building and ask different things. And then we went back to the bed. And then 5 o'clock in the morning again, the same, but then ask something different. So the totalitarian regime had different ways of making sure that people could memorize what they wanted them to memorize. Back to you.
AC2GS. There's all kinds of wonderful ways the governments can drive us all crazy. Sleep deprivation is a nasty thing. I mean, a lot of people don't really understand that. Every so often there are people who lose their ability to sleep, and it is terminal. They die from that. If you don't sleep, you die. It's a lot of people don't kind of respect sleep as much as they should.
I didn't tell you how was I learned the prefixes of the measurement, I have no words, but anyhow, They sent us in the group of 30 guys, and we were supposed to run as long as we memorize tera giga mega kilo hecta deca deci centi milli micro nano pico femto ato. Well, actually it was hecta before that. So it took us, it wasn't really that individually I supposed to memorize it, but all 30 guys, they're supposed to memorize it. So we start at 8 p.m. and we came back, and we're not supposed to stop. So there was 30 guys in the platoon. Let me drop. 30 guys in the platoon, and there was probably took us to 4 o'clock in the morning. And then before we were allowed to stop running, we were asked, can we repeat it? So everybody was able to repeat it. That's fine. If not, then we're running again. And to exit.
You know, one of the many, 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 many reasons why probably Army life would not be the best way of me existing. So, although I respect people who give their service to their country, thank God that I didn't have to.
Well, how do you think, why am I in United States of America so proud being citizen of that country? And to exhale.
I'm sure you have many reasons, Wesley.
There was a quote, you never know what is freedom if you have never been in prison. And the regime that I was at was one big, huge, humongous prison. And to exit.
Well, maybe we should get you to give lectures to people to explain that it's probably not wise to exchange a full sense of security for freedom. Because unfortunately, I see a bit of that going on these days.
On the dick.
And
have you been into
the
Army?
I was talking about before when we doubled, you know. For him, freedom is freedom from the known.
I think Wesley was kind of speaking of a more general form of freedom.
Well, the other night, on one of the repeaters, you know, somebody was talking about all of the chatter and the noise. You know, everywhere you go, some advertisement, some branding, some commodifying, more and more and more and more. So many messages, so many messages, so many messages. And, you know, freedom from that, I think, is a big freedom.
Yes, so, but I don't know. I mean, in the scheme of things, if I had to choose between the right to speak and you know, do the things that you want to do if you don't harm anyone else versus listening to too many commercials, I probably would err on the side of the freedom of speech and religion and the other things as opposed to the advertising stuff.
Freedom of choice, free will, and code of ethics. I think that could make a very good existence.
It depends on which side you're on. If you're on the side of the doctrinaire people who know better than you what you should be doing or some deity told them that you shouldn't be doing it, then it doesn't work out that way in their mind.
What if I get opinions from Chinese doctor, Indian doctor, German doctor, and they all have a different answer for me?
Necessarily, you're taking a kind of strange example. There are Indian doctors who move to the United States, and I've worked with them, and they give the same medicine that the American doctor does and the German doctor does, and in many ways the Chinese doctor does. There isn't that kind of extremely absurd difference. Thankfully, we live in a scientific world where, for the most part, you actually have to prove your claims as opposed to just going along with the flow.
QSL, QSL, but my Chinese chiropractor has an unconventional approach, more Chinese than American. I went to another doctor who gave me herbs, and I used the herbs, and they worked, you know, believe it or not. They're ashrams, they're treatment centers called Ayurveda, and Ayurveda can cure all kinds of ailments, you know. But it's becoming more the way you say. It's become more, you know, Western.
The problem is probably more than semantics, but when I'm talking about a doctor, and I guess I'm biased, I mean a medical doctor or the equivalent, someone who has trained in the medical arts, with hundreds of years of scientific technology, of proven fact, as opposed to these idiots who are called chiropractors. I once had a patient who was a chiropractor. He gave me his card. It said he specialized in nutritional disorders. He was 350 pounds. So, when I went to medical school, one of the women was married to a guy who was just kind of going to chiropractor school, and she would visit him and bring back pamphlets that described how spinal manipulation caused tumors to drop off your body. So it's what you believe a doctor is. I believe a doctor is one thing. You may think a doctor is a completely different thing.
You know, for a while I saw Holistic MD. He ran like the whole wing of a hospital in New Jersey, and it was all about like removing metals of mercury and different metals from the cells of the body through chelation. There's also another kind of doctor called the doctor of osteopathy. They call him a DO. I think you probably know about them, but I don't know if you would consider them effective or not. You know, and I'm very thankful for doctors because doctors save lives. Go ahead.
Doctors of osteopathy originated with a little weird concept of what medicine was, but over the 50 years of its origin, it basically shifted to teach the same exact thing that medical doctors believe. And so MDs and DOs are considered pretty much equivalent. DOs tend to become general practitioners a little bit more than specialists, but otherwise they study the same thing that MDs do. So they're doctors, but chiropractors, holistic guys, guys who do things because it generates a bill and they have no studies to prove it one way or the other, but it came to them in a dream, these to me ain't doctors. You know, there's all kinds of wonderful phrases for what they might be, but none of them are doctor.
What about PhD?
PhDs are doctors of philosophy, or they have doctorates in particular fields. It depends. I mean, if you have a PhD in physics, then great. I will accept your expertise in physics. I will not accept that you know how to do a heart transplant if you have a PhD in physics, or in chemistry, or in history, or in English, or you can keep going on and on and on. So I tend to think that if you want health things done, it should be done by a licensed and trained physician of some kind with a legitimate degree. Otherwise, lots of luck.
Would you consider there to be a big difference between a spiritual MD and just an MD?
Quite make it out. Did you say a special or a spiritual MD? I didn't make out that word.
A spiritual MD is a doctor that takes in some kind of knowledge of the infinite space, a higher knowledge. If it exists, and most people, they don't believe that it can exist. But I think, you know, the idea of the some bigger mind, some higher knowledge somewhere, you know, falls into the practice and somehow makes it much more effective. You know, I think that was sort of like what the idea was for holistic doctors, MDs, DOs, you know, other doctors in Ayurveda for sure, and also the Chinese chiropractor and the Chinese physician that gave massage, relaxation, and herbs. Go ahead.
Science is based on research and proven results. You do something, you get a result. You keep on doing it, you keep on getting that result. You do something else, you get another result. Spirituality is all well and good. You can visit the shaman, you could pray on a crystal, you could do anything you want, but it's not really science. You could call it pseudoscience if that makes you feel any better, but you got to look up the dictionary what science means. Basically, there are theories. You prove the theory or you disprove the theory, and you go from there. You don't kind of make it up or play telephone with the theory. You have to kind of prove it, unfortunately, and if it's not proven, then it's probably not terribly useful.
Yeah, I want to add something into action. The example. My father had two professions, so like three times university. There was mathematics, physics, and chemistry. His words were always, if you hit yourself and feel the pain, that's your practical experience. With science, you cannot have something that cannot be proven by other guys or at least accepted. So, the science is based on models, at least physics is based on models. If the model is accepted, then this is the science. So whatever the model is, spiritual, not spiritual, if it's accepted, then there is a science. If it's not accepted, then there is not. And if we're not comfortable with the model, is going to be replaced by another model. And we're still going to be accepting that other model. That's how the science goes. There is no place for something that is of higher spiritual level in science. I'm not saying it's not, doesn't exist. What I'm saying is science has a comfort of being as a particular form and to exist.
QSL. Then science is just like having one knob on the radio, then you've got all the other knobs or all other things.
Fortunately, I believe it is like you say, Dr. Roy.
Or it could be like science is one knob and imaginary knobs are not science. And if you twirl the imaginary knob, nothing much happens, but if you have enough faith, you think maybe it might. Could be that.
Look, I'm not trying to go against people's belief or go against anything that people want to accept. They can accept anything they want. But in the world of science, in the world when we have our children in the school, we want those children to be prepared to that what the world is going to accept. And if it's not accepting, then we're going to wait till the new model is going to be accepted. And that one, if it accepts spirituality, that's fine.
It's just...
Yeah, the model, I think, is the known. And the known is accepted. And anyone who questions the known gets criticized. Maybe there is some other way. Why did that Indian scholar reject the sainthood? Why did he say, I'm just going to travel and be a scholar and a teacher and, you know, lecturer? Why, wherever he went, there was a woman waiting for him at every port. When he traveled, he was received. And he had an unconventional life. And his belief was that if you go into nature, you become closer to some higher consciousness. Why was that so significant? It was a very simple, simple concept. Very few people could understand. Go ahead.
Science is a logically based philosophy. It is not spirituality. It is not religion. You can believe in spirituality. You can believe in religion. You can have all the faith in the world. It's a free country, thank God. But it's not science. And when people say it's science, they either misunderstand what science is or they are trying to do something not quite legit. That's all worth saying. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm just telling you that the field of science has nothing to do with beliefs or faith. It has to do with provable concepts and only provable concepts. And, you know, you may not like it, but you know, it's not one of those things you can vote on.
One more. I remember the fine line of Dr. Roy. I was doing an experiment with gypsum corn, and I was claiming or standing certain phenomena that I observed, that I have seen. And Dr. Roy said, even if you show me, the magician knows his tricks the best. I'm not saying that I don't see it. I see it. But I don't accept it and don't believe it till I get into the core of it, to the bottom of it. And that was the best line I've heard. And to see it.
Yeah, you know, I think also there's a big part of science and, you know, concept is the pursuit of the gold coin. You know, everybody wants to get some, you know, and they want to get lots of them, you know, and that plays a big part of it, I think.
Oh, David, I'm not looking for any gold coins. I'm just trying to figure out how everything works. And... you know, if you don't really want to do it logically, then, again, it's a free country, but you really shouldn't be calling it science. That's all.
How the new science being born.
You know, in the beginning, when I first came on, you know, I was talking about the concept of art versus
something.
Engineering. It's two
another
separate
guy
things.
Think what they can have against. And if they cannot find it, then the new science is being born. Maybe Dr. Roy has better wording for that.
David made some comment that science and engineering is two different things. I tend to disagree. Engineering is science that's applied. Engineers are not going to build a bridge based on hearsay evidence of how to do that. They tend to have a good reason for the things that they do, and they get feedback. If they start to do the wrong things and the bridge falls down, they don't just kind of pray to something. They go back and figure out what they did wrong.
QSL, my ex-girlfriend was a university student, PhD in engineering, and she wrote a book, her thesis, her doctorate project was a book on bridge building. She baked mathematical formulas for bridge construction, and to say she was a very logical person.
Interesting. It was many years ago. I was with the woman. She graduated one of the famous European universities in microbiology. And I was at that time in Greenpoint between Polish guys, and I came home and she says, well, you're getting the language of those guys and way of thinking of those guys. So she was criticizing me for me changing to worse. And years later, I met another woman, my present wife, and she also graduated one of the famous universities in Europe. But in psychology. And she said, you know what? The smartness doesn't come with the surroundings. It comes with the knowledge. By you being between the people doesn't make that you lose the knowledge. So she was wrong. What I'm trying to prove by that is that there are certain mechanisms in science not allowing you to go left and right. It's like a box or the corridor. You cannot go to either door because it's not going to accept you. You got to go straight and you cannot go back off. You just stay where you are. Unless you decide that you want to forget what you've learned. Dr. Roy.
Okay, gentlemen, I will share with you a quote from the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix. Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens.
I think people got to know what they want. If they don't know what they want, they'll never get what they want. Nothing will ever please them. Then some idiot will come along to tell them what they want. I'll get pissed off and blame it on some group or some person that had nothing to do with it. I say you can't blame me if you don't know what you want.
Just out of curiosity, is Dick still out there, or has he found some better place to go? AC2GX, just
KK6DPZ. I'd like to come in 1 second. I know I'm not one on a repeater, but I wanted to make my comments about John, who I knew for over 20 years. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Did you get that? This is K6DPZ. Are you going to acknowledge me or not? Are you, Wesley? Are you going to acknowledge me and give me the courtesy or not, you brilliant man?
I don't know what to say. I'm in all favor of everybody talking. Dr. Roy, you decide.
Can I have my 2 minutes of what I want to say? If they want to record it, report to the FCC, let them. I just want you to know my background and feelings about John, who I've known for over 20 years. Tell you what, Wesley, let's just not transmit for, say, 2 minutes, and whatever signal seems to come in, comes in, and then at the end of 2 minutes, we will continue. How's that, Wesley?
And with me.
Gentlemen, I do appreciate that. I know John over 20 years. My relationship with John was not really over the repeater. It was more over phone calls. And as far as I'm concerned, John was one of the most brilliant gentlemen I ever ran into. He was creative. He took an idea from a thought to a prototype. He was a brilliant machinist, a very avid aviator, which maybe you don't know, and a very logical man. And I really personally hate to see it passed on, but when I tried to check in earlier tonight and voice my opinion about him, I wasn't even given the courtesy. You know, that's put the politics on this repeater, fine. But when a gentleman like that passes on, I just wanted to pass on my respects to him. Because knowing him off the air, we've shared many hours over the phone, he was very involved in technology, meteorology, which I'm involved in, and we shared a lot of interesting points parallel. So that's all I have to say. Now, if the recorder's recording me and want to give the information to Washington, let them do it. That's all I have to say. This is K6 Delta Papa Zulu. I'm really sorry he's gone, and my condolences to his daughter. K6 DBZ clear.
Talking about machinery, there was another great thing. There was a time when I started to assemble my mechanical part of the lab. So I had lathes, mills, CNC mills, plenty of other equipment. I still have a few of them, although I decided that I'm not going to keep them any longer. And John was keeping up with me, like he was in it. We were talking about manufacturers, we were talking about the machinery, we were talking about a physical work with the metal. We were going all over the place, EDM machine, let me jump. Cutting by wire under the blanket of water. We were going to sintering. Sintering, which is actually taking a powder and compressing the powder in the form and then in the green stage, putting it into the furnace and at high temperature, letting melt the particles together, which most of the stuff is right now being done this way. We were talking about forming metal to different shape and changing the physical properties of the metal. And John was with it
as if he was working with it.